Noon. I've started the lesson, the presentation anyway, by displaying an image on the screen. And I want you to take a moment and think about what you're seeing. What first comes to mind in looking at this image or these images? Our study today is on the topic of neglect. In those images, we saw a building that had been neglected, a piece of property that was all grown up, and a road that had been neglected. And that's what we want to look at, not so much these images, of course, but the concept of neglect. There will be a thread that will go through this that I hope to share with you tonight. When we think about neglect, there are a few questions that might come to mind. What is it? What is negligence or neglect? Why is it a problem? Is there a reason why we want to give attention to this topic? How does neglect happen? And then the final question that we will address is, what can we do about it? What can be done about neglect? Can we solve the problem of neglect? Well, first of all, I think we need to define neglect. If we look at the original language from which we receive the scriptures, the first is the Greek word parakouo, which is a verb, and it means side here, literally side here. And it means to hear something aside or to be unwilling to hear. And that's where we start to get into the meat of our topic today. On hearing, then, to neglect what we've heard, to pay no attention or heed to it, or to refuse to hear, pay no regard to, or to disobey. The word parakouo from the Greek is, as shown here, para means to the side or beside, and akouo is the word for hear. We get the word acoustic from this Greek word. From the Hebrew, we have shalu, which is a noun, which refers to neglect or remissness or something that from which we have neglected. As we look at the scriptures, we're going to see that there are several ways and things that we can consider about the word neglect. When we look at the first one found in Matthew 18, verses 15 to 17, we read, "Moreover, if thy brother shall trespass against thee, or go and tell him his fault between thee and him alone. If he shall hear thee, thou hast gained thy brother. But if he will not hear thee, then take with thee one or two more, that in the mouth of two or three witnesses every word may be established. And if he shall neglect to hear them, tell it unto the church. And if he neglect to hear the church, let him be unto thee as an heathen man and a publican." This passage develops the thought, doesn't it, about the word neglect. First of all, it suggests that we approach a brother that has offended us or trespassed against us one-on-one. And what does it say? If he shall hear thee, thou hast gained thy brother. So there's a decision that brother made about hearing what we had to say. For he says in the following verse, "But if he will not hear thee," so there's, again, the concept of a decision to be made there. He will not hear. Then it progresses on to multiple witnesses and finally before the entire congregation. And so we can establish the pattern of thought here from hearing to neglect. Neglect is not something that we would think of as being passive. It is a direct refusal, choosing not to do something. This individual, as described in these verses here, has chosen not to hear, not to respond. So negligence is not passive. It requires or is an active choice. We make choices all the time, don't we? We make choices about where we go, where we spend our time, what we do. When we think of it in the terms of our spiritual lives, we make choices there as well. Not carrying out our duties is a choice. Now, we may think of neglect as being something that just, okay, I didn't think about that, or it's out of sight, out of mind. But think back to those images that we start with. There was a choice to abandon that building rather than keep it up. There was a choice not to mow the yard around that house. There was a choice, even if it was a difficult choice to make, not to maintain that road. But there were choices in each case. And when we think about the responsibilities that we have to carry out our duties to God, there is a choice. Now, we can choose to do it and be in good shape with the Lord, but we can also make a poor choice and thereby fall into neglect. It really boils down and comes to the point, a matter of priority, what we choose to spend our time and efforts on. So, where might neglect happen? What could be neglected in our day-to-day lives? Well, first of all, we can read in 1 Timothy 5, verse 8, "But if any provide not for his own, and especially for those of his own house, he hath denied the faith and is worse than an infidel." Doesn't specifically say neglect, but that's the meaning of this verse. If he chooses not to provide for his family, then he says he has denied the faith. Another active word, denial. He has denied the faith and is worse than an infidel. We can also see in Ephesians, the 6th chapter, verse 4, the same idea of neglect of the family when it says, "And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord." There's an implied activity that we as fathers have, and by extension other members of the family, to bring our children up. We have that responsibility, and lacking our fulfilling that responsibility, we fall into neglect. So that's one of the things that we can see that the scriptures tell us not to neglect, not to fall into that. In Acts, the 6th chapter and verse 1, it reads, "And in those days when the number of the disciples was multiplied, there arose a murmuring of the Grecians against the Hebrews because their widows were neglected in the daily ministration." It actually uses the word neglect in this passage. And here we find that there were those of the Grecians who were complaining, if you will, about the treatment of the Hebrews were doing. Now, this is not the Jews versus the Christian. These are all Christians. The Grecians that it speaks of here are Greek-speaking Jewish Christians. And the Hebrews that it's speaking of are the Hebrew-speaking Jewish Christians. They were both Jewish. They were both Christian. But we find that they were complaining or murmuring, as the word here in the King James is, about the treatment. Now, this was in reference to how the widows were being treated, or the lack of treatment. But it brings us to the point that neglect can happen from us to others. We can be guilty of neglect by the way that we fail to treat others properly. And that was the case that was brought to the attention here in Acts 6. Another area in which neglect can happen is in our own abilities and gifts. We each have certain capabilities. And we find here in 1 Timothy 4:14, "Neglect not the gift that is in thee, which was given thee by prophecy with the laying on of the hands of the presbytery." And looking over in the English Standard Version, the first part of the next verse says, "Practice these things, immerse yourself in them." So rather than being neglectful of what we have been given, what gifts or abilities have been granted to us, rather than being neglectful of that, we're to turn around 180 degrees and practice what were the gifts that we do have. Immerse ourselves in it. I suspect that we all are engaged in certain activities that we've immersed ourselves in. we've gone in and just completely jumped into the deep end of the pool on it, and that's how we need to treat the gifts that God has given to us. It is really second guessing God in a way if he's granted us a gift and an ability if we don't use it. Isn't that an insult to God? We cannot neglect our own abilities and gifts. And then perhaps without doubt, the most important thing that we should not neglect is our own salvation. In Hebrews, the second chapter, verse 3, it says, "How shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed unto us by them that heard him?" It is a question that has an obvious answer. There is no other source of salvation that we will find that can follow up on its claim of salvation. Only through Jesus is that possible. To neglect salvation from the Lord is to give up the possibility of being saved. There is no other avenue to salvation than what is offered to us. If we don't take advantage of that, if we neglect that salvation, we are deliberately doing so. We're making a choice not to. So as we recap these points about what is neglected, do we see the needs before us to proclaim the gospel to family and friends? That's a treatment of others. If we discount our abilities and gifts that we've just read about, we are choosing against being an advocate for the gospel. We are giving up the opportunity to speak to others. Now, not everyone is a public speaker, and that is not everyone's gift. But we all have opportunities in our lives, based upon the gifts that we do have, to advance the gospel. That is one of the prime directives that we're given as Christians, is to proclaim the name of Jesus before others. We're not going to read it, but I'm sure you're familiar with the parable of the talents and what happened to the individual who chose to bury his talent. It did not go well for him. We cannot choose to bury our talent. That simply is not acceptable to God. Let's shift our focus now and look at some of the causes of neglect so that we can better understand the real problem that it is. What are some of the causes that we can think of that would result in neglect? Romans 1 verses 21 through 23 says, "Because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools and changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man and to birds and four-footed beasts and creeping things." Consider, if we're trying to understand the cause of neglect, how devastating it would be and destructive it would be to put something before God. If we want to serve God, then entertaining the idea of putting something else in front of God would defeat the purpose, wouldn't it? It would result in us probably not prioritizing God. And so, as we said earlier, it's a matter of priority, of choosing what to do and what not to do. And if we put something in front of God, it won't work. Similar to this is a passage found in Matthew 6, verse 24. It says, "No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon." Another, I guess, side definition of this wrong priorities is divided priorities. If we attempt to split our time between serving God and serving something else, we can't, by definition, we can't be giving our best effort to God. So we need to realize that, again, it was a choice. It was a matter of priority. We must allow God's service to take first place, top priority in our lives. That when we fail to do that, then it can result and would result in neglect. What about distractions? What about things that take our focus off of serving God? That can result in our neglect as well. He says in Colossians 3, verse 2, set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. The instruction is very short and clear to us. Our attention, our affection, if you will, must be on the things above, that is, serving God. There's a passage, we won't turn to this, but Jesus was talking to Peter, and Peter had made a great claim, and Jesus' response seemed rather harsh at the time, but he said, "Get thee behind me, Satan, you are a hindrance to me." Do we allow things in our lives to hinder our service to God? It is a form of neglect if we do. It is a form of allowing something else to pull us away from serving God. And there are many distractions. We probably each have things that we can think of that would be somewhat unique to us, perhaps. Maybe my distraction is not your distraction. Managing what we allow into our lives is an important part of our understanding what causes neglect. Well, if we've perhaps identified neglect, we've thought about some of the causes of neglect, we can see that placing anything, you know, relationships, our jobs, pastimes, anything in our way of our responsibilities will result in neglect, and we must focus our attention upon our service to God. Why is that so important? Let's look at some of the dangers that neglect will cause. Colossians 2, verses 20 through 23 says, "If with Christ you died to the elemental spirits of the world, why, as if you were still alive in the world, do you submit to regulations? Do not handle, do not taste, do not touch, referring to the things that all perish as they are used, according to human precepts and teachings. These have indeed an appearance of wisdom and in promoting self-made religion and asceticism and severity to the body, but they are of no value in stopping the indulgence of the flesh." Reading from the English Standard Version on this passage. The problem is that neglect, one of the dangers of neglect is that it provides fertile ground for other sin. If we neglect our service to God, then it becomes so much easier to enter into other sinful activities. It says here that even this self-made religion is of no value in stopping the indulgence of the flesh. It didn't help because it's not of God. But if we allow God's direction, as we'll see in a moment, it prevents this. It solves the problem for us. But while we allow neglect to be in our lives, we run the risk of it promoting sin. Another of the dangers is that we become unfruitful. In Matthew 13, verse 22, it says, "He also that received seed among the thorns is he that heareth the word, and the care of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becometh unfruitful." This description of the thorny and weedy ground should remind us, or we can think back to that first image that we looked at of the house that had the weeds around it. We become unfruitful. Can you imagine that property ever producing anything worthwhile? Would our life produce anything worthwhile if it was full of neglect? The problem is that it can't. The riches of this world, the deceit of those riches, they will choke the efforts that we might otherwise be making, and it will not be fruitful. That is a danger because we know in other places we're instructed to be fruitful. We find later in that same parable when it talks about the good ground, that prepared ground, that ground that was not in neglect, produced as it should. And that's the type of ground that we need to be. We read in Proverbs 24, verses 30 to 34, this passage, he says, I went by the field of the slothful and by the vineyard of the man void of understanding, and lo, it was all grown over with thorns and nettles and covered to the face thereof, and the stone wall thereof was broken down. Then I saw and considered it well. I looked upon it and received instruction, yet a little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to sleep. So shall thy poverty come as one that traveleth, and thy want as an armed man. There's a lot to unpack from this passage, but the description is that of an unkempt place, a place that was run down, a place that was not maintained. And what did Solomon observe about that, or in his writing, what was observed? It was all grown over with thorns. The wall was broken down, and he perceived that the individual responsible for that must have looked at verse 33, yet a little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to sleep. Now, if we read that one verse, verse 33, it sounds like a nap that we might want to take on a Sunday afternoon, doesn't it? And usually we don't think of that as being particularly bad. But in the context of this, he's saying this is an idle individual, a slothful individual, as it says in verse 30. And what does it result in? He says, so shall thy poverty come as one that traveleth. The word traveleth here means a robber, a thief. And so someone that is going about, he says, that's how the poverty is going to come up. How does a thief attack us? By stealth, by us not being aware of it. And he says, this poverty is going to sneak up on you. And that's the danger of neglect. We're not going to be aware. It's not going to be down the road that we can see it coming. It really is going to sneak up on us. And it's going to be like somebody that is armed coming up behind us to rob us. That is a danger of neglect. This is from a persistent and deliberate choice not to do something. That property that he's describing here didn't become overgrown and the wall fall down overnight. It was a persistent and deliberate ongoing effort to not maintain that property. What does our life look like? Are we persistently and deliberately making choices not to service our lives? We need to be careful. Here's another one that should really stir us up in our thoughts. Hosea, the 4th chapter, verse 6 says, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Because thou hast rejected knowledge, I will also reject thee, that thou shalt be no priest to me. Seeing thou hast forgotten the law of thy God, I will also forget thy children. If we are neglectful, then we, in a spiritual sense, then we are forfeiting the blessings from God. God has made great promises to us. He showers us with blessings. If we neglect what he offers, then we are forfeiting. Now, when you think of forfeit, it is a particularly galling thing. It's humiliating to forfeit. You think of a football game in which one of the teams maybe doesn't have enough people to play, and so they have to forfeit. It's not a good feeling. It is miserable. But it can also result from not following the rules. If a team were to try to go against the rules of the game, the penalty might be a forfeiture. When we don't follow the rules that God has established for us, it can result in a forfeit. It can be a very severe forfeiture in that it can be the blessings of God. Are those dangers that we should be aware of? I think so. Now, if we look at a rundown building, an abandoned shack somewhere, that building may not be all that consequential. It may be out of use. It may not be something that is of particular value to us anymore, and so not maintaining it may not be that big of a problem. But the problem, the real difference is that we are the temple of God. We are a place that He wants to reside. And if we're not prepared for that, if we've allowed our lives to be run down, then He cannot and won't, will not reside there. He'll find a place elsewhere. We cannot afford to become dilapidated. We cannot afford to allow our lives to be so problematic that or neglectful that we that He will not abide with us. What did He say here in Hosea? Thou hast forgotten the law of thy God, I will forget thy children. I will reject thee as thou hast rejected me. We must choose to maintain our spiritual bodies to be ready for the Lord's use. So we have this idea of what neglect is and the dangers about neglect. Where can we go with this now? Well, let's look at overcoming neglect. Let's say that we recognize neglect in our lives. How do we overcome that? How do we fix it? In Isaiah 55, verses 6 and 7, it says, "Seek ye the Lord while He may be found. Call ye upon Him while He is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord, and He will have mercy upon him and to our God, for He will abundantly pardon." This is the answer, is to turn back to God. If we try to row the boat by ourselves, we won't make it. If we try to handle the situation ourselves, we won't get there. Look at our track record up to that point. We didn't do a very good job, did we? But when we turn back to the Lord, "Seek you the Lord while He may be found, return unto Him," He says, then He is there to abundantly pardon. So we must return to the direction of God to overcome neglect. One of the examples that we can turn to about this, overcoming neglect or improving our situation, is that of Apollos. In Acts the 18th chapter, verses 24 through 28, it says, "And a certain Jew named Apollos, born at Alexandria, an eloquent man and mighty in the scriptures, came to Ephesus. This man was instructed in the way of the Lord, and being fervent in the Spirit, he spake and taught diligently the things of the Lord, knowing only the baptism of John. And he began to speak boldly in the synagogue, whom when Aquila and Priscilla had heard, they took him unto them and expounded unto him the way of God more perfectly. And when he was disposed to pass into Achaia, the brethren wrote exhorting the disciples to receive him, who, when he was come, helped them much which had believed through grace. For he mightily convinced the Jews, and that publicly, showing by the scriptures that Jesus was Christ." It illustrates a point that we probably need to consider, and that is, Apollos may not have been knowingly negligent, but he was. He was incomplete in his understanding of the scriptures. And when Aquila and Priscilla presented to him the complete picture, he didn't reject it. He took it as an opportunity to renew his understanding and to grow from that situation. He overcame the problem that he had by allowing that instruction, that help, if you will, to guide him. He was already an eloquent man, it said. He was already well-versed in the scriptures, but now we find that he was even able to mightily convince the Jews. He extended, overcame the neglect that he had in his life. If we've been negligent, we find in the scriptures, just as the case with Apollos, that there is a way back to active duty or improved duty to the Lord. We can't expect to overcome the problem if we continue down the same road. If we continue doing the same thing in our life, how can we expect a different result? We must take the love of God as in the form of correction and renew our efforts to go down the right path, guided by those scriptures. There's one other way that we could look at neglect and the problem of neglect, and that is, let's prevent it in the first place. Let's just not even allow it into our lives. Again, the simple answer is, return, you'll turn to God, follow His instruction. God will never lead us in the wrong path. He'll never lead us in a way that we would continue to be neglectful. In fact, it'll be just the opposite. We'll be fruitful. We'll be able to generate fruit for Him. In Daniel, the 6th chapter, verse 4, read this passage with me, which says, "Then the presidents and princes sought to find occasion against Daniel concerning the kingdom, but they could find none occasion nor fault, for as much as he was faithful, neither was there any error or fault found in him." If you look at that word error, it is that Hebrew word shalu, which is neglect. What it is saying is that there was no negligence found in him. He did not allow that to be a part of his life. He took care of his business. He did what he was instructed. He followed the direction of God. And so he prevented negligence in his life. He prevented that from being a problem for him by following God from the beginning. A similar passage is given to us in Joshua 24:15. We may have this one memorized. It says, "And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." This was a deliberate choice, a deliberate action on Joshua's part, or his statement, to serve the Lord. By doing this, he knew that he would not be led astray. He would not be guilty of negligence. But he said, you've got a choice to make. You can choose one of three paths to go here. You can choose to follow the things that your fathers did before the flood. How did that turn out for them? Or the gods of the Amorites, or you can follow the Lord as he chose to do. We can also prevent neglect by arming ourselves appropriately. Here in Ephesians 6, reading 11 through 17, it says, "Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, take the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God." If we want to be successful in our battles, whatever those battles may be, whether it's neglect or some other problem, being appropriately armed will prevent many of those problems. We've talked about the idea of overcoming neglect. But as we see here, as is the case with any sin, prevention is always the best course of action. If we can do what the Lord instructs us to do to prevent the problem in the first place, we'll be better off. If we can be proactive in not being neglectful, we prevent many problems that will arise. We've looked at the dangers and the consequences of neglect. None of them were appealing at all. Why would we want to go through that? Why would we want to go through and allow such a problem to be part of our lives? God has given us clear instructions on what we need to do to stay active in His kingdom. Neglect is a problem that we need to be aware of. As we've studied tonight, it is not passive. It is a choice. We choose to be neglectful. Now, we don't always think of neglect in those ways, do we? But based on what we've read in the scripture, it is a choice that is made. Neglect leads to many unintended and undesirable consequences. Sin is a consequence of neglect. It itself referred to as slothful in places, is a problem in and of itself. But God, through Jesus, has provided a way to overcome that neglect or to prevent it in the first place, and it will lead us to that faithful service. What will you choose? What will your choice be in your life? Will it be that in which is run down and dilapidated and full of problem? Or will it be more like this, in which it's well kept? You know, the things that we can look at may remind us of other aspects of life. Seeing a garden such as this tells us that there was a great deal of care and attention given. We need to have a great deal of attention in our lives. One of the passages that we read is the danger of neglecting our salvation. If you've not done that, if you've not entered into that relationship with God, we want you to do that. God wants you to do that. He stands with open arms waiting to receive you as part of the family of God. You need to overcome the neglect that is. And we stand ready to assist you through baptism at this time. If you have another area of your life that has been a problem for you and you would like the prayers of the church or some other matter before the congregation, come forward as we stand and sing the song that's been selected.